So a really great memory from one of family vacations was a time when we went in somewhere that was just totally dark at night. So we went outside and we literally just laid in the grass and looked up at the stars, a little bit like Abram ends up doing with the Lord. And there wasn't any real lesson. We weren't learning how to navigate by the stars or trying to identify the different constellations or anything. It was just an experience of the five of us being there and being in wonder and being in wonder together for a couple of hours. It was a beautiful experience of living family life. That experience of being drawn into something beautiful is what I really want us to lean into today with this feast. Because there's a temptation with the Feast of the Holy Family, for example, as a preacher, to go, okay, so here are five easy steps to make your family just like the Holy Family. But the reality is none of us will be like the Holy Family. All of us here, conceived with original sin, none of the children here are the incarnate second person of the Trinity. We are families much more like Abram and Sarah and Isaac. And make no mistake, they are holy. We hear in that letter to the Hebrews how Abraham is remembered, how he showed faith, trusting that God was going to lead him, even when he had to leave his own country, trusting that he was going to multiply his descendants to be as numerous as the stars, even trusting when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. But that's skipping over a lot of the details of the story of Abraham and Sarah. Just a few of them, so that maybe we can relate to Abram and Sarah a little bit. So Isaac, the name Isaac means laughter. Like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, that's a happy thing. It's a little bit of also a humbling reminder to Sarah and Abraham of how they received the news that Sarah would be pregnant. You know, these three messengers from God come and say, when we return in a year's time, you will have a child. And Sarah hears outside of the tent this prophecy. And she laughs. But it isn't a laughter of joy. It's very clear from the context because these messengers sort of confront her, why do you laugh? And she tries to deny it. So this is a kind of bitter laugh, a disbelieving one. How could God do anything with me? I'm past childbearing age. This sounds ridiculous. Abram, for all of his faith, still is a little bit scheming. When things look tough, Abram is more than willing to lie and to deceive to try and accomplish God's work for God. He doesn't always trust that God is going to provide, and so he does some kind of crazy things, often even disobeying what God's desire is, and yet God is patient with them. God looks on the moments of faith that Abraham and Sarah do in fact show, and God remains faithful to the promises that he has made. And those moments when Abraham and Sarah get it right, God blesses those. And so Abraham and Sarah reveal to us what is in fact possible for us and for our families in our own fallenness and weakness. And so the Holy Family is held out to us, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, not as unattainable examples that we have to try and somehow imitate, despite the fact that none of us are immaculately conceived, despite the fact that none of us are the incarnate second person of the Trinity, but instead they become a living icon that, just like looking up into the night sky draws us into wonder, looking upon them becomes in some way transformative, in a way that's deeper than just sitting there and taking notes. By being before them, before Our Lady, before Saint Joseph, before our Lord, we are transformed by the mere act of contemplating them. We see that with Simeon, with Anna, They show kind of two different ways that we can respond. Simeon seems to remain there. It doesn't say anything about what he does after. Instead, he stays after having contemplated Jesus and this family. He talks to them. He stays with them. And Anna goes and tells everybody. And so by contemplating the Holy Family, we are led to this mysterious kind of movement, maybe to remain, to spend a little more time before the Holy Family, just letting them love us. Because indeed, through Jesus, we are beloved adopted sons and daughters, yes, of God the Father, but we belong to that Holy Family. Jesus gives us Mary as our mother. We become adopted brothers and sisters, and so can sit in that family. I recommend, as recommended homework, look up the homily from St. Paul VI that he gave in Nazareth. It's a very famous homily, and it's beautiful, and it goes much deeper into what we might learn sitting at the feet of the Holy Family. In fact, that's what he says that he wishes he could do. He says, I wish that I could go back to being a child and simply live in the house at Nazareth, to learn from them in that school of love. In Abraham and in Sarah, we receive the consolation that God knows that we are not perfect, that our families, all of them, in one way or another, are dysfunctional. And that does not disqualify us from being made holy. And Joseph and Mary do not stand apart as examples that are unattainable and look down upon us in condemnation and judgment, but rather they serve as icons, as friends, as mother, as foster father, inviting us in, come, rest, remain, let our prayers intercede and tend your heart. Look at our son. Spend time with him. Let him change you by your remaining here. It is possible for our families to become holier. For them, wherever they find themselves, if they're more like Abram and Sarah when Sarah laughs bitterly and Abraham is kind of scheming and lying, okay. That's where we are, but what's possible with God is what they become when the book of Hebrews, or in the letter to the Hebrews, remembered for faith, remembered for trust, through the difficult moments. And the Holy Family becomes that sort of star by which we can navigate, simply looking upon it and asking for their help and their intercession. And indeed, I think it's important also on this feast to speak a word to those who family life, one way or another, feels out of reach towards. Maybe because your family is scattered, members of the family have died. Maybe because you're experiencing infertility and that childlessness. Maybe because of deep brokenness that's taken place one way or another. In the gift of the Holy Family, we are reminded of the truth that we belong to their family. It's not just a pious, sweet image to put on the mantle or to look at in the church. St. John Paul II, when his own mother died, went to Our Lady and said, "You must be my mother now." If you find yourself longing for a family, whatever age you happen to be, go to Joseph, go to Mary. You have to be my family now. And we see that they will invite us in. And in being invited in, we meet their Son, the second person of the Trinity, who will then lead us into that source, that origin, that family life that is the Trinity. And we will know that love. So as we continue with Mass, set aside all of the accusations and fears that your family isn't good enough, or all the things that you feel like you've done wrong as a mistake, those places where dysfunction has been, set them aside. Let this Mass be that chance for the Lord to lead you out and show you the stars, to wonder at the beauty of the family He established, and and say, I can do this for you. Have faith. And as we receive Jesus then in the Eucharist, to allow him to draw us into the peace of his own family life, and then like Anna, to take that out into the world and to share it with others that the family of God might ever be expanded, never once though losing the intimacy and love that is found in that holy family and in the true life of love that is the Holy Trinity.